1 Peter chapter 3. Our text verse is verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I want to speak to you for a few moments this evening on taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in the Word this evening. Speak to someone's heart, we pray, through the ministry of the Spirit of God, through the preacher, via the Word of God, into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. We pray and ask for your blessing, your guidance, and your work at this very time. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God did not create a world that was bland. God did not create a bland world. Don't turn there, but Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was speaking with Peter just in the little room here before that, about that very thing, about how, what an amazing world we live in, and specifically the crowning achievement of the creation of God was man. And when I say man, I mean mankind. And I think I've shared this story before, but I'll share it to you, give it to you again. I have a friend in Adelaide, and his name is Dr. Anthony Pohl, P-O-H-L. And he is the, I think at the moment he is, I wrote this down, hang on. He's director of orthopaedic trauma at the hospital in Adelaide, Royal Adelaide Hospital. And he's an orthopaedic surgeon, world-renowned surgeon. And some years ago, my son David and I were having dinner at his house. He was attending the church that I was preaching at this particular day. And we got talking about a lot of things. Cameras was one thing. And we got talking about photography and so on. And then he said, brother, he said, I'll tell you a story. He said, now, Dr. Pohl is a Christian. He's a creationist. And he's a teaching surgeon at Adelaide University, or at least he was. And he unashamedly teaches that there is a creator God. He said, recently, this is going back 10, 12 years now. He said, recently we've discovered that if we inject a certain protein into the wound site of a, you know, knee replacement or hip replacement or whatever, being an orthopaedic surgeon, he said, this particular protein seems to speed up the recovery. And he said, this protein is a very basic protein. It's made up of 43 amino acids. Now, I don't know what an amino acid is, but it's a little thing. And there's 43 of them in a line that makes up a protein. There might be a couple of chemists here or a couple of scientific type people. I'm just repeating what he told me, okay? And he said, it's a very simple protein. And he said he was thinking one day how this protein came to be. So he had a mathematician friend at Adelaide University, and he got this friend to calculate the probability that this little 43 amino acid protein would form all in a row by chance. In other words, randomly. And his mathematician friend did the calculations and said the chances of that little 43 amino acid protein forming randomly is 1 in 10 to the 80th power. That's 1 with 80 zeros. In other words, it's impossible. It just cannot happen. It's not mathematically possible. It's not possible in any way. That is just a simple, tiny little protein. And Peter, we were talking about the DNA, which stands for deoxyribonucleic acid, which is only made up of 4 different chemicals. I've forgotten what they're called. But there's 4 different chemicals make up the most complex thing in the universe, which is the DNA of man. Now, to say that the DNA evolved, happened by chance, we're not even talking fairy stories here, you know. It's not even a fairy story. It is something so ridiculous that no scientist worth their salt would even consider that. It cannot happen. It had to be designed by a designer. And that's why the Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. you know, we have these two things called eyes. And I'm not quite sure. You Google things and you don't know what to believe. But it is true that we can see millions and millions of different colours. Millions of colours. Because God has given us these wonderful things called eyes. And they say that, from what I've read, that second only to the brain is the complexity of the human eye. It's this incredible organ that is created by God. And it's just astonishing, the processes of the eyes. And we can see millions, possibly even billions of colours, or there are billions of colours. And I like colours. Have you got a favourite colour, Pastor Matthews? No? Aaron, have you got a favourite colour? Red. Oh, you're supposed to say blue, but that's all right, red. Pastor Christy, you got a favourite colour? Not red, green. Green. Red and green. Grey or blue? Grey or blue? We've got some interesting characters, eh? Aaron, what's your favourite colour? You got a favourite colour? Yep, yellow? Everyone's supposed to say blue. No one said blue yet. Yeah. Joss, what's your favourite colour? Ah, blue. Okay. We've got one normal person here, all right? My favourite colour is green, and I don't know why I'm saying that, just to say that there are colours. Now, God didn't only make eyes, He gave us ears. You know how many sounds there are out there? I was thinking this the other day, before I even, typed out this little outline here. Someone picks up the phone, someone you haven't heard of from for 40 years. They say, hello, you know exactly who it is. How does that happen? How does that happen? I've got no idea, apart from Creator God. Not only can you see all these colours, but you can hear sounds, and everyone in the world, how many people in the world? 7 billion. Everyone has a distinctive sound. I don't understand that. But I accept it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Music will never stop being made. Composed, that's the word, isn't it? Never stop. I mean, Caitlin, what's your favourite hymn? Have you got a favourite hymn? You've got to have one. Sorry? You've got a lot of favourite. Well, it's not a favourite if you've got a lot, is it? Pastor Chris, you got a favourite hymn?
I'd rather have Jesus.
Who wrote that?
I think it was music by George Benson.
It was. Oh, yeah. Did he write both? I'm not sure. I don't know. But anyway, we'll attribute that to George, yeah. That's good. But, music. God invented music. Incredible. And then, not only did God give us eyes, God gave us ears, and God gave us touch, God gave us taste buds. Now, of course, you know what I'm going to ask now, aren't you? This is trying to keep you awake here, all right? Sean, what's your favourite food? Chocolate mousse. Yeah, okay. I was going to say... Peter, what's your favourite food? You got a favourite food? Everything. My favourite is chocolate pudding and custard with Auntie Grace Hindmarsh's recipe that now Robin cooks and Jesse cooks and Sarah cooks. They all have Auntie Grace Hindmarsh's recipe. But can you imagine everything in the world? Can you imagine if everything looked as mid-grey? Imagine that. I suppose to some people it does. Some people maybe are really colourblind and everything looks grey. Could you imagine if everything sounded, if all music was in the key of D minor? Could you imagine if everything tasted like cardboard? I mean, everything at McDonald's does, I suppose. But do you imagine if everything tasted like cardboard? No. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God gave us a brain to think, He gave us hands to touch, He gave us a nose to smell, He gave us ears to hear, He gave us eyes to see, He gave us taste buds to taste, and so on. That in itself is enough to destroy any credibility that evolution never had in the first place. God just didn't create things, He created everything good. And not just good, He said it was very good. That's how God created this incredible universe, this incredible world. Now, I'm sort of segueing in here because the Bible talks a lot about the sensation of taste. We were talking about my cooking, where everything tastes like cardboard. Job 6 and verse 6 says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? So obviously, eggs are good for you. That's my interpretation of that verse. Luke 14:34 says, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Salt is good. No matter what anyone says, the Bible says it. And then Psalm 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now we're going to have a look here at 1 Peter chapter 2. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So tonight I want us just for a few more minutes to taste and see how good God is. How good is God? How can we taste and see how good God is? Well, first of all, God is holy. Come back a few verses, chapter 1 and verse 16. Or verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God. God is a holy God. Taste and see that God is good. How is God good? He's holy. He's perfect. He's without error or fault or sin. He is separate. He is so much greater than we are. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. He is perfect. He cannot sin. His son Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, unable to sin. That's what makes him God. And I'm so glad that we have a holy God. A God who is so far above us. He is holy. And then secondly, taste and see that the Lord is good. If we taste, how is God? He is gracious. He is gracious. Verse 3 again. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. God is a gracious God. In other words, God is full of grace. God gives grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith. God is gracious to those who come to him. God is a gracious God. You say, what is grace? Grace is my friend South Australia. His name is Alvin Kettle, and he's a very dear friend, him and his family. Alvin was born in Indonesia, spent most of his life in Australia. He was in jail up until about almost probably 12, 13 years ago. Alvin was in Pentridge prison in Victoria. He ran the illicit drug operation inside Pentridge prison. That was Alvin. When you look at Alvin today, he's a really happy character. He's always joking around, loves the Lord, but he's got this big beard. He looks mean. I mean, he looks really scary, even as a Christian. And I tell him, I said, I look at you, brother, I want to cry in fear. But that's Alvin. But, you know, his now wife, Crystal, came to Friend Day at the church in South Australia about, 12, 13 years ago. And she came down the aisle and was wondrously saved. Alvin was out of prison by that stage. And Crystal prayed that Alvin would get saved. Absolute no-hoper. But God saved Alvin. And Alvin now is a preacher. He doesn't think he is. He's a good speaker. And Alvin just loves serving the Lord. He loves witnessing. He loves bringing people to the Lord. And Alvin can reach those people that you and I would not be able to reach. He knows how they live. He knows that system. People that were from the other side of the tracks. He knows that. And he's accepted by them. And he preaches to them all the time. And he wins people to the Lord. And his life has changed. Why? Because of the grace of God. There's another friend of mine. His name is Colin Cassidy. Colin is coming up on 70. Colin was Australian lightweight professional boxing champion back in the early 70s. He was born in England but came out to Australia as a kid. And he's only a little short fella, Colin. You can tell he's a boxer by looking at his nose. You look at his hands and you look at his nose and you can tell, yeah, he's a boxer. Either a boxer or a rugby league player, one of the two. But about 20 years ago, Colin was in his house, a housing commission house, and he had a loaded shotgun. And he was in the depths of despair. He went from here, fame, money. Funny thing was, he was a sickly kid as a child. And Colin said, I want two things. He started boxing. He said, I want to become Australian professional champion, and I want Miss Australia as my girlfriend. And he got both. He was on, some of you old-timers might remember TV Ringside back in the 70s. He was featured on TV Ringside, I think, 25 times. He's a very good boxer. And he got to this thing, and Miss Australia was his girlfriend. And he said he was walking down Hindley Street, Adelaide, one day, more money in his pocket than he knew what to do with, and his life fell to bits, literally. Lost everything. And he had a loaded shotgun. He was just trying to get the courage to blow his head off. And he said, I prayed to God as best I could. I said, if there's a God up there, show yourself to me. Show yourself to me, otherwise I'm going to end my life. Not long after he prayed that prayer, Pastor Cotton knocked on his door. He said, hello, my name's Robert Cotton. This is my daughter, Deborah. And we're out here door knocking for the church, and I wonder if I could talk to you about the Lord. And to cut the story short, Colin was saved, changed his life. I saw him a couple of weeks ago. You say, how does that happen? That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. And I'm sure some of you, we're not going to do it, but some of you could stand up right now and say, yep, I can testify the grace of God in my life. How God has changed my life, because not only is he a holy God, but he is a gracious God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What else do we find here about the character and the person of God? Look here at verse number 9. Where are we? You are a chosen generation, verse 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. He is marvellous. We could go to the Psalms. We won't do it for time's sake, when it talks about how we have a marvellous God. God is a I love that word, marvellous. It's a marvellous word. It really is. What does it mean? God is a God of marvels. He's a God of marvels. He really is. It talks about the marvellous works of God. Because one of those works, we've already mentioned that tonight, is I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We are part of the marvellous works of God. You look at the Grand Canyon, and you look at Ayers Rock, and you look at the Great Barrier Reef, and you look at the marvels of God. You look up at the heavens, declare the glory of God, and so on. And again, Peter and I were talking about this before in the room out there about the Voyager, 1977. They sent Voyager rockets out to little spaceships out to wherever they're going. I don't know. They're still going. Where are they going to? Deep space, wherever that is. It's out there somewhere, and they're still going 45 years later. And you know, at the current speed of 60,000 kilometres an hour, to get to our closest star, which is Proxima Centauri, I think, at the present speed, it's going to take Voyager 77,000 years to get there. That's just our nearest neighbour to our solar system. You know, all you can think is we have a marvellous God. An absolutely marvellous God. You know, time and again in the New Testament, again, you know, when Jesus did something or when Jesus said something, what did his enemies do? They marvelled at him. In other words, they said, this man is marvellous. No man spake like this man. No one, you know, Nicodemus said, we know you come from God because no one can do what you're doing. We know that. He is a marvellous God. And then, verse 10. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is a merciful God, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. How do we obtain mercy? Because God is merciful. That's part of the nature of God. He is a merciful God. He's a marvellous God. He's a gracious God. You know the definitions. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Does that make sense? I don't know if you've heard the story of... There's an airport in New York named LaGuardia Airport. Have you been to LaGuardia Airport? Okay. Named after a fellow named Fiorello LaGuardia. And he was the mayor of New York back about 90 years ago during the Depression in New York. And the story goes, I think it was 1935, he was just a little fella, little Jewish man. And they used to call him the Little Flower, according to the story I read. And evidently one night, Fiorello LaGuardia, night court was in session. It was January, it was bitterly cold. And he went down to one of the night courts where they were trying petty criminals. And he went down and he dismissed the magistrate and said, you go home, have the night off. I'll take over the bench for the night. And he most probably wouldn't get away with doing that now. But anyway, he did that. And this old lady came down and he said, what's the problem? What are you here for? And she was there for petty theft. She said she was accused with stealing some bread from one of the local shops. And the shopkeeper was there. He pressed charges. And he said, Your Honour, I know it's only a few loaves of bread, but we can't allow this to happen in our neighbourhood. And Fiorello LaGuardia said to this old lady, How do you plead? She says, Your Honour, I plead guilty. He says, All right, well, the fine, according to the list here, is $10 or 10 days in jail. She said, Your Honour, I don't have any money. She said, I was just... My daughter has some little kids. We don't have any money. It's depression times. I just wanted to feed my grandkids. He said, I'm sorry, lady, but you are guilty. And I now fine you $10. And then the story goes on to say that he took his wallet out, took off his hat, and he put the $10 in the hat. He said, Furthermore, I remit your payment, and I'm paying for it myself. And he said, Further to that, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for allowing an old lady to live in a city where she has to steal bread to feed her grandchildren. And they passed the hat round. And the newspaper story the next day went on to say that this bewildered lady was given $47.50 as she left the courtroom. True story. You see, that's a great picture of mercy, not getting what we do deserve, and grace, getting what we don't deserve. And that's our God. He is a gracious God. And he is a merciful God. If you are saved, you have received the mercy of God. You say, is that mercy cheap? No, it's very expensive. It cost God his son. It cost God his son. But it's wonderful. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How else can we see that the Lord is good? Well, lastly, this evening, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he, that's Jesus, is precious. He is precious. You know, if something is precious to you, what is something that you would risk your life to keep? Obviously, your family. You know, I would gladly give my life for my wife, for my kids, for my grandkids. You wouldn't even think twice about sacrificing your life for them. Why? Because they're precious. Unto us which believe, Jesus Christ is precious. His perfect and complete death on our behalf was planned before there even was a universe. Come back here to chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And there's a contrast here. Silver and gold normally are seen as precious things, and they are precious things. I mean, my wedding ring is gold. It's most probably 9 carat, but it's a precious thing. Why? Well, it's not worth that much, but this is my wedding ring. And this, to me, is precious because it speaks to me of my wife, Robin. That makes it precious to me. It's not precious to you, it's precious to me. So silver and gold normally is precious, but we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You see, even before the world was created, the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. God just didn't look down one day and see the sin of the world and think, wow, I've messed up here. I need to do something about this. No. That's not how it worked out. God had this plan from eternity past to send his Son, the precious Son of God, who shed his blood for the sins he never committed. But the amazing thing is, the Bible says, for he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus, to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let that verse sink in. Because of what Jesus has done for us, because he was our substitute on the cross, because he was the precious Lamb of God that shed his blood on our behalf, that took the punishment for our sins, we can be made the righteousness of God. As I close this evening, let me speak to someone. Maybe there's someone here this evening and you have never tasted that the Lord is gracious. You've never tasted that the Lord is gracious. You do not have Jesus Christ living in your life. Well, my friend, I have one encouragement for you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Try him. Try him. See how good he is. You have to make the decision to come as a sinner to Jesus. God is so good. The Bible talks about so great salvation. In other words, we can't even put into words how great the salvation of God is, and about how great the goodness of God is, and about how great the mercy of God is, and his marvelousness and his holiness. I'm just asking, if you are not a Christian this evening, I'm not asking you to come and join the church. I'm not asking you to become religious. I'm just saying, will you bow before the Saviour and say, yes, I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for me, that he was buried, that he rose again. That's the gospel, the good news. He's alive today. And I'm willing to believe, I'm willing to put him to the test. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ as your Saviour? If you are not, and you may be just one of the little kids, you may be an older person, doesn't matter. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, respond. We have a wonderful, wonderful Saviour. He wants to save you. He wants to come into your life. And I tell you what, you have Christ in your life will change for the better. It's a wonderful thing. What's that song we sang before? It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be a child of God. It's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. It's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. And all those, you may not understand what all those big words are. That's fine. Look them up. But you get the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your Saviour by faith, by asking him, admitting your sin, asking him. He will come into your life. He will change your life. He's a wonderful Saviour. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for the fact that you are a wonderful, incredible, marvelous Saviour. I just pray now and ask, Lord, if there's just one person here this evening and they do not know Christ as Saviour, dear Lord, please, Father, work in their hearts, show them their need, draw them to yourself through the work of the Spirit of God. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look this way as you come down?